my phone just blew up from players that had graduated over the years. You know, I would just say thanks for the memories. Like, thanks for, I was honored to coach you guys, you know. So that was probably the neatest thing about it, is just hearing from a lot of the old, you know, the graduates that have come through and gone on to bigger and better things.
Welcome to episode 266 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. It's become a staple of our winter calendar, the annual Vauxhall Academy of Baseball Banquet. We'll hear from two of the honored guests in a moment, but first, the news headlines. And what a week it was for Alberta's pitchers in U.S. college programs. We'll start at Illinois State University, where Dogs Academy and Okotoks Dogs product Tyrell Chadwick was nearly untouchable in a 5-0 win over the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. The hard-throwing right-hander threw a complete game shutout, allowing just one hit while striking out 12 to pick up his second win of the season. Chadwick was named the Missouri Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week and the Canadian Baseball Network's College Player of the Week for his efforts. AHP Academy alum Hayden Dow has been named the Ohio Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week. The Southeast Missouri left-hander also picked up his second win of the season, going 6 innings, allowing just 3 hits and striking out 9 in a 12-0 win over Toledo. Fellow AHP product Reese Hemmerling spun a complete game shutout for Barton Community College over the weekend. In a 6-0 victory over North Iowa Area Community College, Hemmerling pitched the full 7 innings, allowing 2 hits and 2 walks while striking out 6. Vauxhall Academy grad Shea McTavish lit it up with the University of Pikeville Bears, going 7 innings of 2-hit baseball with 8 strikeouts in a 5-1 win over Johnson University. McTavish is now 3-0 to start the season. Devin Benavides has been named the Red River Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Week after throwing a complete game 1-hitter for Our Lady of the Lake University in a 10-0 win over Arlington Baptist College. Benavides was a member of the Lethbridge Bulls last season. And believe it or not, it wasn't a bad week for position players either. St. Albert Minor Baseball and Dogs Academy product Max Hartman collected 7 hits, 2 walks, 5 RBI, and 2 stolen bases in 4 games for the Washington State Cougars. Before going hitless on Sunday, Hartman had reached base safely in 10 straight games to start the season and is now hitting a paltry 362. That's all. Fellow Dogs Academy grad Tucker Zadunik had 8 hits, including 2 home runs in 4 games over the weekend for Reinhardt University, while teammate Nash Crowell replicated those exact numbers for the Eagles. Vauxhall Academy grad and Lethbridge Bulls infielder Calum Haney continues his torrid season, picking up 7 hits, 5 walks, 3 RBI, and a pair of stolen bases for U Mary over the weekend, while teammate Calgary Bucks alum and Sylvan Lake Gulls catcher Ben Prediger went 3-for-4 with a long ball in a 12-7 win over Metropolitan State University of Denver. But believe it or not, the highlight of the week may have come defensively, courtesy of Okotoks Dogs fan favorite and Dayton University baseball outfielder Alejandro Cazorla. Let's set the scene. Dayton's facing High Point. It's the bottom of the 7th. High Point has a runner on 2nd. Nobody is out. And DH Charlie Klinger is facing Dayton hurler Luke Baker. Roll tape.
Swing from Klingler is popped up in foul territory. What a play from Cazorla down the left field line. He ran well over 100 feet to make that play. A diving catch in foul territory, and there's one away.
You have to check his psyche. You have to check. You have to see if there's something wrong with
him. He dove head first into the wall.
He dove head first towards a brick wall.
That man's crazy.
Foul ball.
That man's crazy. What is he doing?
That is insane commitment. It looked off the bat. We already spoke about it. They have that shift on already, and he is running. And it's one thing for the run for. It's one thing to lay out for it.
And he hits the wall.
That close
to
the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
Cazorla helped his cause through the game as well, driving in 3 runs as Dayton went on to win that game 13-12. Needless to say, it's been a fun first few weeks of college baseball stateside as Albertans are making a difference in almost every corner. Now on to this week's guests, and we had originally planned to head south to Vauxhall Academy of Baseball for their annual banquet and awards last Saturday. Then I ended up catching yet another cold, and Mother Nature dumped a ton of snow on all of us, so we were basically rendered immobile to take in the celebrations. Fortunately, we have been able to catch up with a few of the honored guests from what was, by all accounts, another smashing success. A highlight of the night had to have been the honoring of two Wall of Excellence inductees. One is Bob Miller, who helped form the Southern Alberta Junior Baseball League and the Vauxhall Mixed Slow Pitch Tournament back in the day, coaching and volunteering at every turn and winning all kinds of awards along the way. He was also instrumental in the rebuild of Jet Stadium nearly 20 years ago. The other honored was Coach K, Jim Kokas, who joined Vauxhall Academy in 2006 as a teacher and as a coach. His resume is nothing short of legendary, both as a coach and also as a player in the late 70s and through the 1980s, including time with Team Canada. Our Ian Wilson caught up with Coach K for this great, candid conversation.
Jim, I want to get to the award that you received recently, but before we do that, I actually want to step in the Wayback Machine. Let's go all the way back. How did you get into baseball in the first place?
Well, that's an interesting question. I grew up on a farm just outside of Lethbridge, and my dad had a sporting goods store in Lethbridge and farmed, like, in kind of when it was farming season. And in the winter, he would sell sports. Got tired of commuting, so we finally picked up the family. We all moved to Lethbridge. And I would have been probably 8 years old at the time. And then when I was 9, they figured, let's get into sports. And, you know, we'd never played anything up to that point, so I went out for baseball. I played Little League, and I was with the team I was on was loaded with 12-year-olds. I was 9, and it was like, I had my lunch fed to me. It was not a fun experience. Like, I was kind of just a little gopher boy, and I was like, oh, no. So I ended up not playing. I finished that season, but, you know, begrudgingly. And then I went and played soccer when I was 10.
Okay.
And so I played a year of soccer, and I thought my baseball career was done. Like, it wasn't, you know, it was nothing special. I didn't really enjoy the time I was doing it. And then one day, one of the Little League coaches that saw me the year prior came to my house and sat down with me and my mom and dad and said that I am going to play baseball as an 11-year-old.
Okay. And, so you got told what to do.
His name was Stu Dow. He's passed away. Yeah. He was fairly young at the time. And he basically changed the path of my career, my life, because, you know, just to hear him, I don't know what he saw. He saw something that I wish I could ask him, yeah. You know, but he's not around anymore, or why he did that.
Yeah.
But he peaked something with my parents. He peaked something with me, and I was a couple years older and stronger, so I went out as an 11-year-old, because at that time it was 11 and 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And we had a good team. We won the Prairies. We went to the Canadian Championship in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Had a great experience. And then as a 12-year-old, basically the same team, we won the Canadian Championship, and we went to Williamsport. And that's when everything just kind of took off. Like, baseball was cool. You know, we had some great experiences. There was a kind of a core nucleus of guys that grew up together from that 11 on that we played till we were 18, and we won two Montana state championships. You know, one of the players played at Vanderbilt. One went to Grand Canyon. You know, at one point there was four of us that were in the starting lineup for the senior national team,
oh, wow.
Team Canada, all from Lethbridge, off that team. So it was just a group of guys that, you know, we ate, slept, drank baseball, you know, on our off days and the whatever. We would just throw baseballs up into the streetlights and they would disappear and try to find them coming back down. Kind of like, you know, Sandlot. We just did stuff that was baseball related, and it was a cool experience growing up. And it was, you know, I credit a lot of it just to this kind of five or six other guys that all had the same kind of thirst and passion for the game that we all just kind of had tremendous, exciting, you know, paths in the sport.
Now, I have kids, young kids, and I know that if I tell them, hey, you're going to do this, that isn't always an effective communication tactic. I'm not sure what that coach saw in you, and you mentioned that, but what do you think it was about that, getting approached about that piqued your interest and allowed you to get back into baseball at a fairly young age?
I'm not sure if it was just kind of it was pretty cool for, I didn't know the gentleman real well at the time. He didn't even coach me.
Mm-hmm.
He was another coach on another team, but my soccer experience wasn't great. It was the first time I ever got my name in the newspaper. I think I scored 2 goals, and they put me in the Lethbridge Herald as Kim Kokas. You know, I'm all excited to see my name in the newspaper the first time in my life, and it went in a as Kim Kotka said. but I can't really remember, but I think it was just, you know, my parents kind of just said, hey, he saw something, you know, that's kind of exciting, you know, let's give it a chance. And, you know, I don't think he guaranteed me anything as far as making all-star teams or, you know, the only thing I can think of is I always had probably my arm strength was my strongest tool. Yeah. So he must have saw something, you know, as a 9-year-old, just how I threw a baseball.
Yeah.
But, like, everywhere I played, I'm not tooting my horn, you know, but I had probably one of the stronger arms on any team I played. I was an outfielder, so I just had really good rotation and good carry on the baseball.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the only thing I could think of that would have separated me from all the other kids, you know, for him to do that.
Yeah. Looking at your international baseball experience, I was quite taken aback. I mean, your resume was pretty impressive, especially that wasn't a time, you know, the 80s wasn't this era of, like, you know, being guaranteed spots or, you know, I think Baseball Canada hadn't elevated to the level it is now. You were on the Canadian Junior National Team. You participated in the 88 Summer Olympics. And you're Jimmy Rattlesnake Award winner from Baseball Canada. Just a great resume there. Talk me through the international game and what that meant to you, both in terms of travel, seeing the world, but just some of the experiences along the way there.
Well, it's funny you asked that. Because I went to junior college in College of Southern Idaho as a 17, 18, 18, 19-year-old. And the coach there, like, I have tremendous respect for him, but he was a very, very demanding coach. And we won the Junior College World Series as a sophomore, and this would have been 1984, which we had no right winning. Like, we just were so tough and mentally strong. Just the way that he made us, you know, he approached just that dedication to everything that you do and do it right. And we won the national championship in 84, and there was a tryout for Team Canada for the 84 Olympics, and I went to the tryout, and I was short. Like, they wanted a left-handed bat. They were looking for one left-handed bat, and I was short on it, and it was a right-handed bat, and they chose another kid from Lethbridge named Scott Maxwell, who ended up signing with the Blue Jays. I quit the game. We won the national championship, and I stepped away from the game, and I was recruited. CSI was a two-year program, so I graduated. And I had some really good offers to go move on, and I quit. I enrolled at University of Lethbridge. I kind of thought I ran my, you know, career, ended on the highest note of my career, winning the national championship.
Yeah.
And I was done. I was at U of L, and my dad took me for a drive that summer, like early in the summer, and when I didn't make the senior team for the 84 Olympics, and, you know, he said, hey, you're a grown man. Like, I would have been, I guess, 20 or just turning 20, and he said, I'm not gonna tell you what to do, you're old enough to make your own decisions, but just absolutely promise me right now that 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you're not gonna look back sitting in a bar telling people how good you were you know, when you still had 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah,
and that kind of stuck with me. He hit a nerve there, and it so happened, like, within the week, one of my buddies from Southern Idaho called me and said he was on a recruiting trip in Southern Utah, and the coach there was a young, energetic, kind of, you know, not as demanding as what I just graduated from, and they're looking for an outfielder. And I said, here's my number, tell them to call me. So I went to Southern Utah, and that would have been this fall of 85. And, you know, within 2 months, I got a letter from Team Canada that I might have invited to the camp that next summer in 85. And it took off from there, you know. So, and then I hadn't done anything really in the sport other than, you know, 2 years of junior college, won the World Series. Everything happened after that decision, you know. So there was another defining moment of my career where I'd stepped away from the sport and thought I was, you know, hanging them up and just going to become an educator, a teacher from University of Lethbridge. And then from that point on, you know, like you say, my resume, played the Olympics, traveled the world, circled the world, you know, played in I don't know how many different countries. So that was cool. But, yeah, it was an amazing experience. You know, the 80s treated me well with a lot of the stuff that went on in my baseball career.
What did it mean to you to have that Canada across your chest, and especially in events like the Pan Am Games, the Olympics? You know, those are... The world is watching at those type of events.
It was always, it was like, it's hard to put into words when you're, you know, every time I hear a national anthem, when I stand for a national anthem, it kind of takes me back to some of those days standing on the third baseline at some of those events, you know, where it's, you're representing your country. You know, and I can remember multiple times flying across Canada to either the camps or to where I was going, looking down when you're going over cities and thinking, you know, I'm a one baseball player in 20 representing, you know, everybody that's below me here.
Yeah.
It was kind of an out-of-body experience, you know, and it was never a dream of mine. It was just, you know, back to that group of guys that I grew up with, that just everything we did was baseball-related. They just kind of formed, you know, a good baseball player that just allowed that to happen. You know, like I said, it was nothing I ever dreamed of or aspired to do. It just, everything just kind of fell into place just because of work ethic and dedication and, you know, I guess God-given ability that, you know, on the end of it. But I will never forget that experience and just the pride to wear the Canada across your chest.
Then the 90s roll around and you get into coaching. Was that kind of a natural extension for you for the game? Like, just like you said, you were immersed in it all the time. It was baseball all the time. Were you just like, yep, that's next on the horizon?
Pretty much. Yeah. When I graduated out of Southern Utah with a teaching degree, but at that time you needed to finish with a practicum. So I asked him if I could do my practicum up in Southern Alberta, because that's where I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay in Alberta, and they said they would. So I did a practicum at Picture Butte, Alberta in 88, and coached their high school team. I was still playing. Oh, no. Like, that was the Olympic year. So I coached the little town of Picture Butte's high school team, 88, 89, 90. So I had, you know, a little bit of baseball coaching experience while I was still playing. And the gentleman I coached with was Scott Oyakawa, who's the head coach of the Lethbridge Elks American Legion team for the last 37 years. We coached together from Picture Butte, and he was in the Legion program. And 91, we tried to qualify for the 92 Olympics. That was the ultimate goal. And we came up short in Cuba, so we didn't qualify. And there was a handful of us that kind of, that was, you know, our last crack. We weren't going to try to make another run at the 96. So once I retired, you know, I knew absolutely I was going to coach with Scotty in the Legion program. So, yeah, since 1992, me and Scott have been together. I think this will be my 33rd year in the Legion program and his 37th. So, yeah, it was just a smooth transition, you know. And we were in Southern Nevada last year, and the head coach was talking to the Vauxhall team, and he said he was the reason we coach, or a big part of it, is we compete through you guys, you know, the players. And it made sense. Like, that's exactly just that competitiveness never really leaves you. and being able to make a difference and kind of, you know, help kids, mentor, tutor, you know, to kind of have a taste of what you did when you were a player, you know, 1,000 years ago. So,
yeah, that brings us next to Vauxhall, of course. You've been there since 2006. I think you started coaching right at the same time as Les McTavish. Walk me through just that whole process. I mean, Vauxhall didn't have any reputation by that point. It's just getting going. I assume you knew Les a little bit through Lethbridge circles. Walk me through just coming to Vauxhall.
Yeah, Les and I coached together. He was the pitching coach on the Lethbridge Elks in 98, 99, and I think 2000. We coached together. And then the opportunity when Vauxhall decided to do a baseball academy, you know, we talked together, like, we can do this. Like, let's give it a whirl. And, you know, I give so much credit to that first group of athletes that we had. You know, when we're traveling around Alberta giving seminars, kind of what we're trying to do, you know, telling parents or asking parents if they'll send their sons to us for at 15 and 16, 17 years old, when we really didn't know, you know, ourselves kind of what it was going to look like or how it was going to shape up.
Yeah.
You know, so they were the pioneers, that first group that had the guts to make that jump.
Yeah.
And, you know, then when we started, we had no credibility in the baseball world. It was like, you know, Vauxhall, what, you know? So we battled, and, you know, from day one, it was not about winning. It was about just developing whoever we had in our program, development and class. You know, where we're, you know, we're, one of our players turns around and looks at an umpire wrong, we'll pull him, or we'll, you know, that isn't happening. You know, it's just 100% you play the game with class. And it kind of just snowballed where we play some teams that, you know, maybe didn't respect us, and by the time the game is over, they respected what we were doing. And Les always has done a good job kind of underselling players to colleges. And, you know, so it was a process, but, you know, as we move forward, you know, through the early years, it was just, you know, just kind of doing things the right way. And then it, to me, it all goes back to where it wasn't just that we have to win at all costs, because, you know, we are not getting fired if we have a losing record. So we never had that and never have had that pressure to win. You know, it was just about put a respectful, hardworking product on the field that, you know, obviously competes to win, but, you know, they do it the right way. And it just, they just slowly gain respect through the baseball world. So now, you know, now when we go to Las Vegas to those big tournaments at Bishop Gorman and stuff, we have teams from across the U.S. that are requesting to play us just because we have garnered that much respect over the years of how we operate.
When I tell people about Vauxhall or that I might be going to Vauxhall, a lot of times, even though you guys have put the town on the map to a large degree, I still get a lot of people asking me, where is it? And I always kind of describe it as a geographical anomaly. It's kind of like an hour from everywhere, or 45 minutes from everywhere else. I just maybe talk about that, that environment and how that may be a benefit in terms of, yeah, you do have the kids there, but they're also, they're also a little bit further away to get into any trouble, I guess, would be one way of saying it. But maybe you can just touch on just how the community's embraced you and just what it's, you know, even though you might be in the middle of nowhere, just what you've been able to do there.
Yeah, right from day one, like when we first started in 06, we had no place to house the players. So all our rosters it would have been probably a good six, seven, 8 years, we billeted in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, so families would just take in one player, a couple maybe took two players. They hardly got paid enough to cover their expenses, or they wouldn't have. But, you know, they saw something, I guess, in the program. You know, so they hats off to that group, or it wouldn't have happened. But yeah, it's small enough, you know, you don't have the big city environment. To me, it's a perfect storm where, like, now we have dorms that are actually attached to our school. You know, they just walk through the weight room and they're in the school from their dorms, from their house, which we kind of joke about was, you know, some kids will be sitting outside the door there and they'll come in a little bit late to class. We'll say, hey, tough commute, eh?
when they
just have to walk down the hallway. But to me, it's a perfect storm where we have the school. The dorms are attached. They can access the gymnasium, the weight room, you know, whenever they want. You walk right across the crosswalk on the street. Our ball diamond's there. Like, I'm sitting in the school right now, and I can throw a baseball into the stadium from right where I'm sitting. And then right behind the right field fence is our indoor complex. You know, so it's just the perfect storm where you don't have to have a vehicle. You don't have to go through traffic. You don't have to, you know, travel anywhere to get to the park or to work out, or it's all, you get, you know, throw a stamp over everything for the kids to get better. And, you know, that's where we're fortunate. We always, on the most part, have 22 athletes that are committed, you know, and they're here for a reason, and we remind them, you know. And that's that, to me, that's one of the things that makes our program run, is they all come with goals to, you know, number one, to get scholarshiped into the United States to play college baseball, you know, with pro ambitions. Mm-hmm. But we hold a lot over them, because if they aren't doing things properly, then that dream goes away, you know. So we've never really had anything issues as far as, you know, just it's like I say, it's just a perfect storm of everything kind of just falling into place where it just works.
We've had your name on our list to get you on the podcast for quite a while now. So one of the reasons we're late into the interview now, but we should mention that you're on here and we're talking to you, is Vauxhall Baseball Academy has inducted you into the Wall of Excellence. That happened over the weekend. What does that honor mean to you?
Well, it's a tremendous honor. But I've never done any of this stuff to get those honors. you know, when I look, I sit in the hallway of the dorms and I can see the Wall of Excellence with the people that are on there and have just have so much respect. So it's cool to be up there with, I'm trying to think how many would be on there right now. Maybe a dozen would be on our Wall of Excellence. But yeah, I mean, it's a credit, you know, you kind of feel like you've done something right, but you know, I'm just that kind of guy that just try to make a difference, you know, try to help people along. And like, to me, it's just a byproduct of kind of being a good person and, you know, doing things the right way. And like I say, trying to make an impact. And it's cool. Like, probably the neatest thing is yesterday, Les must have put something out on Twitter or whatever, your Instagram, where my phone just blew up from players that had graduated over the years. You know, great job, well deserved. You know, thank you for all you did. And, you know, I would just say thanks for the memories. And thanks for, I was honored to coach you guys, you know. So that was probably the neatest thing about it, is just hearing from a lot of the old, you know, the graduates that have come through and gone on to bigger and better things.
Any, you mentioned the word memories. Do any of them stand out over the years with Vauxhall, either certain players or certain events, or certain games, anything come to mind?
Well, the first one that just popped at me when you said that would have been the year we won the Bishop Gorman tournament. Like, it's always, I think the year we won, it would have been 2019. The weather was crappy up here, and we hadn't even been outside. We went to Bishop Gorman in Vegas there without inter-squatting outside, without playing outside, and, you know, we won the tournament. It was like, and we're playing against the who's who of baseball in U.S., you know, in USA Baseball. You know, so that would be a highlight for sure, just, you know, because it probably shouldn't happen. You know, I mean, you're playing against guys that have played 12 months, and they're all, you know, we play rosters that the entire, every person on the field committed to a big Division One, you know, power school. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, all of it. You know, a lot of it's just being on bus rides and listening to the guys banter and, you know, getting along and, you know, sitting in the dugout after a game or a practice with a handful of guys and just kind of talking about, you know, life or, you know, maybe certain things that happened in practice that we could do better, or, you know, those things stand out a lot to me, you know, as far as memories. You know, the player that probably stands out the most to me would be Adam Macko. Just the dedication that he had to become, you know, to hone his craft and to be where he's at, or to get to where he's at, you know. It was probably the only player that I've ever coached. And Demiano's making a great run. But Demi's had a different path than Adam. Like, he's taken a few knocks and keeps getting back up. And, you know, so credit to Demiano. But when I coached Adam, it's the only player I've ever been around where I said, I can see him in the big leagues. Just the way he handled himself around us for 3 years. And how the bigger the moment, the bigger he got. You know, which is kind of unlike a lot of Canadian kids. You know, and that's where, that's what I find here. You get kids that come to us and they, you know, I don't want to toot the horn of the program, but they all of a sudden go from fairly average to maybe a bit above to like kind of an elite player, but their confidence or their mentality hasn't caught up to that. So sometimes you get, you know, into a stadium where there might be 30, 40 scouts behind the grandstand or behind the home plate, and it gets a little daunting and intimidating. Where Macko, he got better, you know. So it's, you know, players that I've coached, they're few have gotten better in the, you know, and that saying, the bigger the moment, the bigger he got, was Adam Macko. Like, you know, that's his statement for Adam, for sure.
Well, I don't want to keep you. I know you've got, well, you've got teaching to do. You've got some baseball work to do as well. But I do want to leave you with the last question that we typically ask every guest on the podcast. That is, what does the game of baseball mean to you?
That's a good question. It's basically, I am who I am because of baseball. You know, everything that I've kind of learned is from, like I say, that coach I had at Southern Idaho. His name is Jim Walker, Skip Walker. You know, he was a very tough coach, but he helped mold me kind of into that toughness, and humbled me, where, you know, I didn't think, maybe when I went down there, I could never do anything wrong, but he humbled me, where it kind of makes you self-reflect and grow as a person. You know, and that, I relate that to baseball, you know, and just all the, you know, baseball is a game of failure, and you have to handle failure, you know. So baseball, you know, has shaped me to who I am 100%. you know, throw away the, you know, the stuff on my resume or where you played or what you did. Just the sport itself, just the nature of the sport, of how you'll never figure it out and you keep chasing that, you know, is it's such a unique, cool sport where, you know, we have a lot of kids who have come through our program that are in our program, that are going to come to our program, that have all the physical characteristics to be very successful, but you have to really work with them on that mental side of the sport, where you're going to have those 0 for 8 days. You're going to have those times when you get on the mound and you can't find home plate. You know, how do you deal with, how do you get better through that process? You know, and that's where baseball to me just shapes people and shapes their personality. And, you know, 100%, that's what it did for me.
Excellent answer, Coach Kate. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and continued success.
Throughout the course of the night, several current players were also recognized, with the highlight of the night being the Reno Lizzie Scholarship, which goes to a student-athlete looking to excel in both disciplines. Past winners have included Garrett Hawkins, Ty Penner, Adam Macko, and last year, Cardell Dick. This year, the award went to pitcher Brett Getz, who was a guest back on episode 244 of the show. I had a chance to catch up with him earlier this week. Brett, thanks so much for joining us here again on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's start here. Brett Getz, 2024 Reno Lizzie Scholarship Award winner. How does that sound?
It's honestly, it's crazy. There's been so many people in the past that have won this award that have meant so much to the Academy, and it was an honor to hear my name called for the award.
When you heard your name Saturday night, what went through your mind?
My mind was racing. I was like, oh God, I got to prepare to speak in front of all these people. And it was just, it was also an exciting moment because I knew how much of an honor it was to receive it. So
how cool is it to see those names? I mean, you look at Adam Macko going through what he's going through with Toronto, and Garrett Hawkins trying to make a good run at it. And I mean, those are two pretty recent and influential pitchers, and you're the latest one on that list.
Yep. Like, you, Coach Mack will tell stories about those two all the time, and you just hear how good of people they were on and off the field. And it's like winning an award that both of them won is just meaning that I'm kind of on the right path and hoping to one day have stories told about me at this place.
I know you'd won another scholarship last season. So how cool has it been to get those kinds of accolades at Vauxhall over the last couple of years here?
It's just awesome. It's getting recognized for putting in the work and being consistent every day, and it's just great to see how people notice that too. And then many times it's just got to be influential for the people next year too, and it's just awesome.
What's been key to the success over the past year, especially because there's been a lot of buzz about what you've been up to in Vauxhall?
I think the key was when I came here my first year, I just had a bunch of a great group of guys who just led me through the process and showed me how to work hard, and it doesn't really matter what happens to just overcome those tough situations. And it's just been awesome. And it made that transition way easier. So it's been great. The people that I've been here with too have made it a great 3 years.
Last time we chatted, you were just about to head out to Toronto for the Canadian Future Showcase. So now that you've got that benefit of 2020 hindsight, how happy were you with your performance at Rogers Center?
Oh, I was pretty happy. I was able to get MVP of my game, and I just kind of trusted my process and went out there, had fun, clear mind, wasn't really worried about anything, and it all worked out in my favor, and defense played good behind me, and it was a great day overall.
How much, I know you'd gone through that tournament a year previously, although it wasn't in Toronto, so how much of it was kind of knowing what to expect and not let the moment be too big, given that you were elevating it a little bit in the newly renovated Rogers Center?
Yeah, it meant a whole lot more just being in, because I've been told that is the best mound to pitch on in the big leagues. And it was just crazy that I was able to share that with so many players across Canada. And then watching games the week after that, they were already pitching on it in the major leagues. And it just made you a little nervous seeing all the empty seats behind you. And it was just made me think what it would be like pitching when that thing is packed. But it was just a great experience being at the Rogers Center.
I'm curious, what makes that mound so unique and so good in your eyes now that you've actually been able to pitch on it?
Oh, I think it's just they take care of it so well. Like, you, there's no divots. It stays flat the whole time, and you're just able to, it's like sticky too. So you're able to get a good grip through your cleats, and it's just insane, really.
Very cool. I'm curious, from your performance standpoint in a tournament in a situation like that, it's so unique. It's not like your normal everyday game kind of thing. It's not like you're prepping and scouting the team in advance or anything like that. So how do you focus in on the things that you do well to make sure that you're able to succeed? Like, what kinds of things do you work on mentally and physically to make sure that you're at your best in that moment, because you know it's going to be a fairly limited time there?
Well, my main thing was just to keep everything the same. Don't think that this moment is any bigger than just pitching here at Vauxhall. Just treat it the same. I did my stretches the night before. I did my whole warm-up, the same thing. And just once I got out there, it was able to help me just adapt way quicker and be ready for that moment when I got up there. So it made the transition way easier when I stayed to my process.
Mm-hmm. Albertans seemed to take the showcase by storm. I mean, you were getting rave reviews. You had the game MVP in your game. Simon Baker takes home MVP of the tournament. Nathan Flewellen goes and wins the home run derby. I mean, it was pretty cool to look at from the outside, but from the inside, how cool was it to celebrate all that success with some fellow Albertans as well?
Oh, it was awesome, because I played with those guys through Team Alberta, and I play against them usually a couple times a year, and it was awesome to actually know them and personally be friends with them and have them win that award. Like, I remember me and Flewellen were talking the night before and just saying how crazy it would be if he won the home run derby, and he ended up winning it. And it was just awesome to share that moment with him and how excited he was, and then see both those guys carry it on to their home teams too.
I bet you that there was a little bit of a wink and an acknowledgement when you're all taking home all these awards, eh?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was just a great moment, and it kind of, even though they're not from Vauxhall or playing Vauxhall, it still brought all of us closer together too.
That's very cool. Let's focus in on the here and now. Obviously, we're in the middle of winter. We're getting ready for spring here. What have you been working on during the off season to get yourself ready for this year, and obviously looking ahead to Sacramento State?
So my main thing this off season was just focusing on getting stronger in the gym, and then also working on my off-speed pitches a lot. And we've been starting to throw more pens now, and I'm starting to figure it out. And I believe my pitch ability has gotten way better. And that was a big goal of mine. And I'm happy where I'm at right now.
Everybody talks with pitchers about velo versus control and being able to throw heavy, but also have some movement. What do you find yourself focusing in on more, or is it kind of a equal parts? Like, let's make sure we're getting up in the upper 90s, but also make sure we got some revolutions and some spin going with us as well.
Well, big thing here is Coach Mack, like, punches it to us that don't worry about velo. Velo doesn't really matter if you can't get guys out. So the major thing, like, I was a little focused on velo too much, and then that was bringing my competitiveness down on the mound, and my pitch ability was down, and I wasn't able to throw enough strikes. But now that I've kind of flushed velo out the window, I feel like it's helping me got better as a pitcher. And down the road, if I do get jumped up in velo, then I'll still have that pitch ability, which is the big need right now.
Mm-hmm. What's the spring look like for you? What are you, we obviously playing in Vauxhall still? Is it kind of tournament and same old, or what's your game plan for the spring?
So in about, I believe, 18 days, we actually leave to Vegas for two tournaments. So that's big for us right now. And then as of right now, we're just getting into our live ABs this week. And then hopefully next week, the snow clears up and we're able to get back on the field.
I see you're heading to Medicine Hat for the summer as well. How excited are you for that opportunity to play in front of the hometown fans?
Oh, I'm very excited, because I grew up watching those games, and I remember when they won the Wick Bowl championship. It was one of the coolest experiences ever, and now I'm able to share the field, go on the field every day and play for the Mavericks, and it's just an honor to have everyone that I've grown up with come and watch me play there.
Mm-hmm. Then it's off to Sac State in the fall. How stoked are you for that?
Oh, I'm very excited. I'm able to go with a teammate of mine, so it's going to make the transition a little easier. And Sac State is known for winning. They've won 30-plus games every year for the past, I don't even know how many seasons. But they're known for that, and I'm excited just to see how much I can grow as a player.
How crazy is it to think that this is your final year at Vauxhall? Have you thought about, you know, whether it's the Vegas trip or anything else, have you thought about, you know, kind of soaking in those last moments and being where your feet are, so to speak?
Yep. No, this has honestly been the quickest 3 years of my life, and it's been insane. And especially after Christmas break, that's usually when it goes in a blink of an eye. So I'm just taking it every day by day, and making sure I talk, no grumpy days here, just taking it all in with the guys and making sure that I don't leave here with any regrets.
There's a lot of things that you're going to be doing in the next little while, but I'm curious, when you think ahead, do you have any goals or things that you want to accomplish or need to accomplish over the next year?
I don't really have too many like goals right now, but I just want to be able to go into Sac State and compete for a pitching opportunities every day. And I'm hoping that when the time comes, I can prove why I should be there and all that. So I'm just kind of getting myself and my body prepared for next year, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you. I know I asked the usual one of you, feels like just yesterday, but a few months ago, and that is, what does the game of baseball mean to you? But I'm going to ask it in a kind of a different way, I suppose.
Yeah.
I want you to fill in the blank for me here. Baseball is blank.
Baseball is basically my life. It's everything revolves around it. Whether if I have a bad day at baseball, it's going to be a bad day in general, basically. But I'm starting to kind of let that, trying to leave whatever happens at baseball, and then carry on what happens in life at life. But baseball is just, it means so much to me right now. And I'm just absolutely loving it. And it's been a hell of a ride so far.
We've been loving watching the success you've achieved, Brett. Congratulations on all of it, on the scholarship, continued success in 2024 and beyond. And again, thanks so much for coming back on the show so soon and sharing a little bit about the latest accolades.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks again to Jim Kokas and Brett Goetz for joining us this week. And thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. We have one more in-depth conversation still to come from the big night in Vauxhall. And that's with former MLB hurler, current Saskatoon Berries head coach, and special guest speaker for the night, Andrew Albers. Ian caught up with him as well this week, and we'll bring you that conversation in the days ahead, maybe even as a special edition of the show. So you'll want to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Again, a tip of the cap to Vauxhall Academy of Baseball for helping us line up these interviews. And hopefully next year, the sickness and the awful road conditions and old man winter won't get in the way of another trip. We'd also like to thank our platinum supporters, the Okotoks Dogs, for all of their support in helping us cover costs like web hosting fees and online newspaper subscriptions. We're hoping to announce some new sponsors in the weeks ahead, so stay tuned for that. And if you'd like to join our roster, head to albertadugoutstories.com/supporters for more. Until next time, thank you for all of your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.